I bet you were afraid you didn't know what it was. In fact, we're talking about fear tonight. And I suppose that if I were to ask you what kind of things have made you afraid, that every one of you would have a little bit different story. There are some things that I should have been afraid about and didn't hit me until a long time afterwards, like when I was held up. Wasn't afraid then. Now, let me climb on top of a roof and it hits real fast. Something about that. And so tonight we'll be talking about the fear of the Lord. And it's my opinion that there's hardly anyone who understands what fear is when that comes and takes place, or should be taking place. But so we can kind of sneak into this passage of Scripture, let's start with Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. More to be desired are than gold. Have you thought about that? These are more to be desired than gold? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. So, as we think of these things, we have to kind of reorder our priorities. What is it that we count precious to us? And when we're looking at that which is precious, if you look at the internet, you look at the newspaper, they have whole pages set up for the stock market and talking about gold and silver and all of these things. And we look at this list that's here in verse 7 and 8 and 9, and these things are more to be desired than gold. And the whole world is going after something else. And so when we think about our priorities, we have to reorder our thinking. Kind of wipe the old hard drive clean and put in something new to take its place. Because there are things that are more important. Now, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, this is a whole new area that we need to have in mind here. The fear of the Lord is, I wonder if some people would say, be afraid, especially of the Lord. That's wrong. That's dirty. Isn't that kind of the attitude we've gotten from a lot of places? The fear of the Lord is clean, it says here, is clean. So when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, I've heard all kinds of things said concerning the fear that's here, and are we to quiver and shake when we think of the Lord? Well, I wonder if perhaps there wouldn't be some better responses if more people would. I mean, after all, the heavens declare the glory of God, and they look on the heavens and say, just happened. Tough. Here we are. You're the way you are. Fate's designed it, and you are what you are, and And I'm sorry for the sadness of it all, but look what you got. Isn't that really what you find if you were to listen to some of these things that are been on the radio and TV and movie screens and stuff that's been going on for as long as any of us have lived? They credit it to fate, and you just don't have anything to choose. This is just the way it is, folks, and live with it, because tomorrow you die anyway. What difference does it make? So when we talk about fear, we're talking about something that when people enter into a situation of fear, your legs go to mush. The limbs start quivering sometimes. Now you say, come on, Pastor. All you have to do is get me on a ladder right out here and say, get on top of that roof. Pastor tried it once. Never got off the ladder. No, I didn't. Never got off that ladder. And what I was wanting, my objective and my goal was only about two or three arms length away, and I couldn't get off that ladder. Or maybe it was you that I was with. And anyway, it was, they never got me off that ladder. Fear set in, and I was there. When we encounter the things of God, remember now, the Bible talks about the whirlwind and comes from whom? It comes from the Lord. And we talk about the big cyclones in the Bible, and what do we call them? Hurricanes. When we talk about various things like the water spout, well, most of you probably haven't lived along the coast and in any place where you've seen a water spout. But they are quite impressive when you're out seeing a water spout off the coast of Florida. I haven't seen one, but my son took a picture of one. And it's just kind of a little curly Q going up into the sky to the cloud. I was pretty impressed. I've been impressed with these little dust devil things out in the desert sometimes. And when I was just a little kid, I ran into the middle of one on purpose and had my eyes filled with dirt and was coughing there for a couple minutes afterwards and wiping my eyes. And that wasn't anything compared to what comes charging through Tornado Alley in the Midwest and apparently knocked Sylvia's garage down. So this kind of stuff is a cause of fear. When we realize where it comes from, it isn't fate that brought these things to pass. So this is an area that we need to keep in mind. When we're talking about the fear of the Lord, it should be something that would indicate to us that something impending, in fact, oftentimes impending evil is going to take place. Well, now, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, isn't impending evil at the very doorstep of every man and woman and child? Especially if they aren't saved. Impending evil, even their own death, is at the very door of every man and woman and child, because if they die without the Lord, what is their hope? Only worse than what they have here. And then people say, life on earth here is as hell, and I just cannot see anything to be worse. They haven't understood the scriptures. And they don't understand the eternal destiny of altogether too many people. So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, maybe when we consider the idea that maybe there should be a bit of concern about being afraid, there needs to be some fear in the hearts and the lives of people. They need to consider that these emotions of alarm should be real for a good many people. Now, I suppose that for those of us who are in this room, if we're born again, I suppose 1 John 4:18 would have something to say. Who would find that and read it for me? 1 John 4:18. I mean, isn't this what most people think of when they talk about the fear? 1 John 4:18, what does it say? Okay. Fear has torment. And so, but the love of God does what? Casts it out. And probably that phrase right there is what most people hang on to. And they don't want to think of the concept, the idea that fear also has torment. And when we are, should we be a people, and there's an altogether too many who are outside the walls of this building, who would say, so, God's a God of love. But they also need to remember that God is a God who is, in fact, if we were to go back to Psalm 19, verse 9, where it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, endureth forever, enduring forever. The next two words are the reason why fear should be enough to cause people to quake in their boots. For the judgments of the Lord, judgments, are also part there. And so this verse is talking about two sides of things, and we'll get into that another time, the judgment side. But the fear should be there and should cause us, cause a reaction and an action in our hearts and our lives, because if life ends without the Lord, then there ought to be a painful apprehension as to what's going to happen to an individual. An individual should have that in their hearts and their mind, because there is an impending evil that's facing them if they're not saved, if they're not born again. So here's a concept that we need to have in our hearts and our minds. The fear of the Lord is something that's very important. Now, thus far, we've looked in verse 9 and we've talked about the fear of the Lord, and then there's an equal sign that's there following that. We're looking at this mathematically at this point. If you were to read an equation, the word is an equal sign. It's the idea of a mathematical concept that's there. The fear of the Lord is, oh, now the world tells us it's filthy, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord is clean. So this is a whole concept that we need to have before us, that there is cleanliness that is related to the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is equal to that which is clean. And I suppose we could understand that from the point of view that if I'm going to fear the Lord and God is holy, then that which is clean is the result of the fear of the Lord. Now, having heard a couple of stories from different people here in the congregation, I have reason to believe that if some of you were in the presence of your father and you were probably 8, 10, 12, 14, maybe a little older, there were some things that you did not do in the presence of your father because you feared him. And therefore, your life had a tendency to operate in the clean mode instead of in the dirty mode. Mischief and all those kinds of things. The fear is related to cleanliness because we have respect for the impending judgment that could take place. The fear of the Lord is a significant thing. It's a good thing. We need to have this as a part of our understanding of the nature and character of this universe and this life and the very God who is in charge. Wait a minute now. Let's get this straight here. We have a God who is almighty. He can do anything he wants, and he does what he wants, And what he does is always right, and it's always pure, and it's always just. We have a God who is all-powerful, but he's also omniscient. Ever-knowing. And the eyes of the Lord going to and fro through the earth. And because he's omniscient, it isn't that his eyes are on you now, but not when he's on someone over here. Omniscient means all-knowing, and so this suggests that as the eyes of the Lord are going about through the earth, we need to keep in mind that it isn't some now and not later. It's always now and always later. Because of his omniscience, we never are out of his eyes or the view or the understanding, at least the knowledge of God in everything we do and think and enter into. We're never free of it. You can't go and run into the basement and be out of the sight of God. You can't go and run out in the garage and be out of the sight of God. You can't go up into the woods and be out of the sight of God. Just because as a kid, you finally were given enough freedom to get out of the house and to go downtown, doesn't mean that you weren't out of the sight of God. He is all-knowing, omniscient, and his eyes are ever about keeping track of us, and his knowledge is always there upon us. So when we're talking about cleanliness, and we're talking about the fear of God, we need to realize that the purpose of this is that whether you think you're in the presence of God or not, he always is aware, and understandingly so, aware of where we are and what we do. And therefore, that next passage and that last part of the verse could apply in relationship to judgment in some way. And so this is an important thing. This is what keeps us clean, because he's always watching us, and we're never out of his view and never out of his sight. Just like with your father, when you were in his sight, you would obey him and follow him, especially if your father had a little severity to him. And you also realized that he expected the same kind of thing even when you're out of his sight. But in the case of God, you're never out of his sight. You're always there in his sight. Therefore, the fear would cause me and you to do those things that are right and those things are clean, because he's a holy God, and he says, be ye holy also. So this is a whole concept that we don't have operating generally in the world, and they fail to know this and recognize this. So this cleanliness, the fear of the Lord, is clean. And there's no contamination involved in this when we're talking about clean. Just like you don't want a little barn dust on your dinner plate when you're getting ready to eat. You want it clean. You want it always clean. You don't expect that something is going on here, and then sometimes you use it for unclean things, and then the question is, did they wash it or didn't they wash it? Did they really wash it? Or did they just kind of rinse it off? And that question comes up. Is it really clean? And so it's not contaminated. It's not defiled in any way. And it's always clean. And the thing that is special about this is that the fear of the Lord is clean. And the effect of the fear of the Lord making us clean is something which is enduring forever. I'm never out of his presence. He's an eternal God. Therefore, as he's always watching me, I'm always conducting myself in a clean manner. And therefore, see how the presence of mind operates and follows through on this, enduring forever. It is something that It is going to continue. It doesn't perish. It's sustaining. God's patience is continually with us. And so we find that this idea is something that goes on clear to the end, the termination. And when is that? That's when we've come into the presence of God, and then there isn't any of this concept that, well, God sees me, He doesn't see me. Kind of like taking a petal off a flower. God sees me, God sees me not. God sees me, God sees me not. And this is the way the world is operating. We can't consider that as part of our thinking as we go through our life. God is always seeing us, and this is an enduring thing that goes on forever. It doesn't stop. All the way to bringing us home into His very personal presence that we can see and enjoy, even though we're technically in His presence now. That's what is hard to grasp a hold of as we go along in our life. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And so let's come to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We'll look through a few companion places where it talks about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34. Let's go down to verse 8. To lead into this, verse 11 is the key verse. Verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints. Now notice who He's talking to, and He's talking about fearing the Lord. Fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want of them that fear Him. I would say that there's no want of saints that fear the Lord. If we're looking at that, it seems to appear that to me. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. Who's it talking to here now? Children. So when do we start teaching the fear of the Lord? Well, I've read in the newspaper that they're trying to, there's a few people who are trying to pass a law that say that you should not teach any religious education to children until they become adults. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Boy, if that isn't abuse, helping children to be afraid of something. They need to be afraid. A child needs to be afraid of his mother and of his father, and they need to be afraid of authority. They need to learn that right from the very beginning. They're not supposed to have to learn it at 6 years of age. They need to learn it in the first weeks, right on through to the first months, to the first years. They need to learn that all the way from the beginning. If you learn it from the beginning, you develop a habit and a pattern. And the habit and the pattern of fearing the Lord from the very beginning results in cleanness, not filthiness. And cleanness is a very important aspect here. So come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I think that's a precious verse. Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Let's go down to verse 10. Last verse in that chapter. Now we have people who are in colleges or in schools who consider themselves professors or in the other level as teachers. All of those who are teachers, don't they like to project themselves in front of the students as someone who has wisdom? I mean, that's a presumption that would seem to be there, that a teacher is a person who has wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it says here. Good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, I would have to suggest that if we follow the logic that's in this passage right here, that anyone who does not fear the Lord is not wise and has not wisdom. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, you can't enter into wisdom without the fear of the Lord. That's a definition that we have here. Now, for me, for many years, that was a little bit hard to grasp a hold of and to hang on to and to perceive and to place into my being so where I could understand this and make it effective. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if it's the beginning of wisdom, then there is no wisdom apart from the fear of the Lord. And we don't live in a society that would hang on to that and they would find that this is rather offensive. But the scriptures teach that the beginning of wisdom is related to the fear of the Lord. If they don't fear the Lord, they are, how do I say it? They're without. They're just without. They don't have wisdom. And it doesn't matter how many years you go to college or how many degrees you have. Wisdom is defined by the fear of the Lord as its beginning. And I would think that we would be able to make a presumption that in order to continue in wisdom, you would have to continue in the fear of the Lord. This is something that is contrary to general thinking. And especially as we have it today. So it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher, or it doesn't matter whether you're a parent, or it doesn't matter whether you're some official, it doesn't matter how much education you have, wisdom is absent from the person who has not begun in the fear of the Lord, or does not enter into the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So this is a whole concept that we need to hang on to. Now let's go to Proverbs 1:7. This is going to be even more offensive. Sorry, but the Bible is offensive to a lot of people. If I can get there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Now it says here in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, knowledge. So, let's read the rest of that verse. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we're talking about knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is not the source, and the basis by which knowledge is laid hold of, there is also a lacking of knowledge. Now, what do people say then when we look at all this? What do people say if we were to go to a person who has a PhD and say, do you fear the Lord? They say, why should I? Then there's two things that you would presume on this is, number one, they don't have wisdom. And number two, they're lacking in the realms of knowledge. Now, here's the situation that we're looking at here is that knowledge is related to the gathering of information. Now, I can have reams of information on a clipboard. Or I can have a file cabinet full of information. But if I don't know how to order it, it's the ordering of information that turns it into knowledge. And if I don't have the fear of the Lord and know how to set up the filing system, it's just knowledge, but it's not... It's just information, but not knowledge. Hope I said that right. Knowledge is something that people have changed the meaning of over the past years. And they tend to think, and they tend to make equal information as being the same as knowledge, and it's not. Knowledge has to do with the filing system and the ability to put it in an order, and if it isn't put in God's order, it's not knowledge. It's just information. And information wrongly ordered is information which is wrongly used, wrongly understood, and there's no possibility of gaining wisdom out of all of this. So this bit of fearing the Lord is a very serious thing. It's very systematic in the way it operates here. Let's go to chapter 1 of Proverbs, down to about 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now, when we're looking at fear in this section right here, we're talking, as in verse 27, we're talking about sudden alarm. That's the kind of fear that comes if you were to have a tornado and it was to come through this building and we did not expect it, and except that we couldn't run in time, we couldn't go anywhere for safety, and all of a sudden the roof lifts off and the walls pop out and things start flying all around of us. That's the sudden alarm that we're talking about. So when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, verse 27, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They hated the orderly filing system that God has required us to put all this information according to. They hated that, and they did not choose to fear the Lord. They did not choose to respect the one who made it all and has established for us the process by which we're to put it together. They did not respect the God of glory who is currently now watching each and every one of us to say, what God has is right and true, and I'm going to follow the order that He has established and created in the beginning, and which is going to be effective clear to the end. And so, this is where it is. And so, when they fail to, when they hate knowledge and did not choose, by the way, it is a choice not to choose to fear the Lord. When they did not choose the fear of the Lord, then, in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. Why should God have any respect to such foolishness when He, the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth shows His handiwork, firmament shows His handiwork, when He has made all of this, it's clearly revealed, clearly made available, and we say, it isn't important. I'm going to do my own thing. That's just kind of like if someone were to tell me, go climb on that roof, you don't need anybody to hold the ladder. So it is a snowy day, and the ladder's sitting on the snow at the bottom. I'm just going to go trip, 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 right up the ladder and jump off on the roof. Of course, there's snow on that too. And someone says, be careful, be careful. And all of a sudden, whether I slide off the roof or the ladder flips out from underneath, and I land smack down on this, what's down below, what more can you do but laugh? What foolishness! What ignorance! What craziness! We've been told as a people, we've been told as a citizenry of the United States, we've been told as people placed into this world, there are things that are dangerous and things that are wrong, and you just flippantly just went off and took off with your merry ways, singing or whistling a song, and wham! Calamity comes. I will mock at your calamity, or laugh at your calamity. I will mock when the fear, the suddenness of this alarm all of a sudden hits you. Yeah, it's going to be sudden. The ladder flips out from under me. I'm on my way down. That's sudden alarm. That's sudden alarm. But it's too late because God has warned us ahead of time. It's clearly placed in the Scriptures as to what ought to be. And so, as a nation, if we don't fear the Lord and sudden calamity comes upon us, what else is there to say? When you knew better, it's plainly written, it's plainly made available, and we did our own stupid little thing, and boom! And so, verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It happens as a personal, or as a family, or as a community, or as a nation, or as a world. All these things are true because this word gives us all that we need to satisfy this matter of knowledge and hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Well, I think I'll stop there. It's a good place to stop because it's an admonition that as we go about our duties this week, am I going to fear the Lord? Am I interested in the knowledge of God, or am I just going to trip on going the way I go because I want to? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. I'm so grateful that we might be able to be your children. I'm thankful that you as a Father watches over us. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, that we might be a people who are not left without knowledge, who are not left without opportunities for understanding, and are not left without the privilege of entering into wisdom, for you have provided all things for us that are sufficient for every day. I pray, Father, that I will remember that I am in your eyes, and I will remember in that quiet situation that I am not alone, but your care has been provided for my benefit. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.